Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. Wisdom in the area of human authority is the first subject that is dealt with in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, and we've been looking at that rather thoroughly over the last several broadcasts. As Solomon teaches us, the God-honoring way, the way of godly wisdom to relate to human authority. And he tells us the basic posture that we must assume is obedience to human authority. And when it comes to resisting human authority, which at times is right and appropriate, it needs to be done with great caution. We should not display irritation and impatience. We should not participate in rebellious activities. We should not challenge human authority hastily, but we must discern the right time and the right way to resist. And if our resistance does not succeed and we get to the end of the appeal process, which sometimes we do and still have not prevailed, and we still think we're right and yet we have not prevailed, we must accept the verdict and move on, knowing that God will take care of these things in His time and in His way. If a wrong has been done to us, and sometimes it is done, human authority is not always right. They're certainly not always godly. They're not always right. And so there will be injustices from time to time. But the Bible teaches us that it's better many times to accept an injustice for the sake of peace and the sake of our testimony than it is to just fight endlessly. Just yield it to the Lord and go on. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. Now let me pause and welcome you to this Friday, November 27 edition of the Beacon Broadcast and remind you that we are dependent upon the gifts of our radio listeners in order to pursue this ministry, and that now as we are ending or coming close to the end of the year, we are very much in need of your financial support, and I thank you for considering it. Do you remember what Paul said about Christians taking one another to court in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians 7 is a fascinating chapter in so many ways. It starts out dealing with marriage issues, but it moves on from there to the issue of Christians taking one another to court. And Paul scolds Christians for doing that. He has a lot of things to say. But he says this is not something that Christians should be doing, taking one another to court. And he even goes so far as to say this: wouldn't it be better to suffer wrong at the hands of your brother in Christ than to drag this matter through the secular court and basically blemish the testimony of Christ in the world? There are times when we accept injustice rather than fight to the finish, even if we're right in our fight. It's still not in the best interest of the testimony of Christ for us to fight everything. Some things, yes, but everything, no. We've got to be wise, and that's what Solomon is telling us here, the wise way to relate to human authority. Now, he does tell us that we need to understand the limits of human authority. That's verses 7 and 8 when he goes on to say, "For he," that is the human authority, "he does not know what will happen. So who can tell him when it will occur? No one has power over the spirit to retain the spirit, and no one has power in the day of death." There is no release from that war. Now, what is he talking about here? And he goes on in that verse to say, "And wickedness will not deliver those who are given to it." But what is he talking about here? Well, he says you need to understand the limits of human authority, and by that he means this, not what some people think when I make that statement. But here's what he says. Human governors and government officials and those who have been placed in authority, number one, don't know the future. Only God does. And number two, cannot defeat death. They can't stop death from happening to themselves. They don't have unlimited authority. Now, there's other areas where their authority is limited, but those two things. They don't know the future, for he does not know what will happen. So who can tell him when it will occur? He doesn't know the future any more than you do. So here's this government authority, and you think he's being unfair, unjust, unreasonable, unrighteous, and very well may be. But your best basic posture and attitude toward him is one of submission. Oh, there's so many examples of that in the Bible. I don't see how we can miss it. Think about the Apostle Paul. I suppose this would be about Acts chapter 22, as best I can remember. It might be chapter 23. When he was being examined by the Jewish Sanhedrin. Now, this was after he had come into the custody of Rome, after he'd been beaten in the temple courtyard, and he'd been rescued by the Roman commander, Claudius Lysias. But Claudius still didn't understand why the Jews were so irate with this man, and he had a responsibility to keep the peace in Jerusalem and to protect the interest of this man who he now learned was a Roman citizen, and yet to not allow riot to develop in Jerusalem. And these people were certainly riotous in their relationship with Paul, and he needed to figure out what in the world was going on. So he had him examined by the Jewish Sanhedrin. He called them into session, basically, and said, "I want to hear what your charges are against this man." And he was there, or at least representatives of his government were there, to hear what was going on. And the trial opened with Paul making a statement about having lived his life in good conscience before God and man up until that day. And the high priest Ananias commanded that the person close to him smite him across the mouth. In other words, demonstrating that Ananias disagreed strongly, vehemently, with what Paul just said. He considered that to be a lie. And Paul called him out strongly. He said something like, you're commanding me to be smitten contrary to the law when you're supposed to be examining me according to the law. Here you are pretending or purporting to represent the law, in this case, Jewish law, the law of Moses, and yet you've just commanded me to be smitten contrary to the law because Jewish law doesn't allow you to smite someone until they have been tried and pronounced guilty, found guilty. And I haven't been found guilty of anything yet. The trial hasn't even begun. You've just violated the law that you claim to represent. Paul called him out. And we say, good for you, Paul. And then someone said, are you going to revile God's high priest like that? And Paul, at that point, that's when he learned that Ananias was the high priest. He didn't know that. And that's probably because he'd been away from Jerusalem for years, been out working in the Gentile world, evangelizing and planting churches, and the high priestly office tended to turn over quite a bit. I won't go into all of that now. It wasn't supposed to, according to the law of Moses. high priest served until they died and then were replaced by another one who would serve till he died. But in these days of Roman overlordship, the high priestly office had really basically become someone who served at the pleasure of Rome. Rome made sure that they had somebody there that would work with them. And so they would replace one high priest and put another one in his place. And so Paul didn't know that Ananias, the man that was standing before him, was in fact the high priest. He didn't recognize him, and he wasn't in his high priestly garments. The Sanhedrin meeting had been called hastily, and he didn't come dressed in a way that identified him as a high priest. And as soon as, listen to me now, here's the point, as soon as Paul realized that he was the high priest, he apologized. He said, "I'm sorry, I didn't realize he was the high priest, because I should not have done what I should not have said what I said. I shouldn't have been disrespectful, because the scriptures teach us not to revile God's high priest, not to revile someone that God has placed in authority." So Paul is doing exactly what Solomon tells God's people to do here. That is to have a posture of respect and basic obedience, not because human authorities are always right, not because they're always godly. More often than not, they're not. Not because they're always doing right and righteous, but because God has ordained human government, and God has appointed the individuals who fill the positions of human government. And God has told us, his children, to be submissive and respectful toward human government. And therefore, that's what we do, because that's what God has commanded us to do. And we know that those who are in human authority don't know everything. They certainly don't know the future. God may strike that person down tomorrow. May strike him down in judgment for his rebellion against God's law. But if God does that, that's God's right, but it's not mine. I'm not the instrument of God to do that. God has not given that job to me. That's not my assignment. God hasn't appointed me for that. But God can do that. Nobody knows the future except God, and no one defeats death. When God says, "You're coming out of this world," you're coming out of this world. No one has power over the spirit to retain the spirit, and no one has power in the day of death. Now, this is the limitation that Solomon mentions on human authority. All human authorities, all human governmental officials, whatever they're called, kings or governors or presidents or mayors or councilmen or representatives or whatever they are, they're all mortal. They're there because God has put them there. Whether you agree with God's decision or not, that's the truth. That's what God tells us. They should therefore be respected and obeyed as much as possible. As much as possible. There are limits. We've already dealt with how you go about registering a challenge. They must be obeyed as much as possible, but here's the point, not feared. Only God is to be feared. And it's because we fear God that we do this, because God has told us to. And we fear Him. We fear His judgment. We obey Him. We do what He says. And this is what He has told us to do. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying, good day. May God give you His eternal peace.